rounds.
Oh, they're at warheads. Sweaty old present a pontoon boat. Fishing for Moby Dick. The wife, she thinks I'm working. And the boss, he thinks I'm sick. It's a perfect day for fishing, drinking beer and telling lies. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys. It's a little bit like heaven when you're fishing with the guys.
Hey, and Diupers playing, that must mean Captain Kale's in the chair across from me. And you can click on the Diupers thing and go right to their website. They got all kinds of cool stuff. The Diupers are very cool people. And, you know.
Good, and funny music. I love that song.
I love the Diupers. They're great. Anyway, back to radio fishing. And we have Captain Kale in the chair across from me. And how you doing, Captain?
Not too bad. Hot. Man, hot. Was it hot out there today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Here, I'll get that out of your way. Now, you were on a charter today, and according to the pictures on the internet, you're nice tarpon.
Yeah, we put a nice one to the boat today. Boy, you got to get out there early.
Yeah?
Yeah, you've got to be out there at 5 o'clock if you think you're going to catch tarpon. That late morning to early afternoon bite is almost non-existent.
So, basically, you want to leave when it's dark and make your way out and get where you want to be.
Yeah, yeah. You better be out there at 5 a.m. in the up on the hill.
And just as soon as the sun comes up, you got your shots.
Yeah, even before it comes up. You know, they're shutting off, I would say, probably 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's early.
Yeah, and we didn't get down there till about 10.
Yeah.
No, about 9:30 we got down there. After we got bait and everything, about 9:30.
All right. So now you left here with the intention of being there early, and you stopped. And what bait did you get?
We stopped and got some ladyfish, some big thread fins, some big greenbacks. Rode around a little bit trying to find some crabs. We've gotten no crabs, but I knew we could get it done with what we had.
Okay. So they're now garbage cans. Here is the point of my contention here. We are going to figure this out logically. And logically, uh-oh, I will figure all this out. Yes, I want to use logic. I want to understand this. When Captain Kale sitting in the chair across from me say, must be there 5 a.m. I showed up at 9:30, 10 o'clock. What?
Yep, exactly.
Okay, now, all right.
We were late for the dance.
Okay, you got late for the dance, but you still danced.
Yeah, but there were very few dancing partners. I think we saw maybe at best from when we got there till about noon, 12:30, 1 o'clock, maybe 6 fish jumped.
Okay,
maybe.
Where were you?
Up on the hill. Inside the pass.
Just inside the pass. Now, you say 6 boats jumped tarpon or 6 tarpon jumped?
6 tarpon jumped.
Okay.
Not a whole lot of fish.
Nobody really hooking up, anything else?
No, your usual tarpon fishing, 10,000 fish rolled in front of the boat, nothing eaten.
Gotcha. So, when you hooked up, what happened? I mean, yeah, I know it's luck of the draw, but still.
Oh, it must be a grouper. Keep reeling.
Keep reeling. Must be a grouper.
Maybe it's a cobia. I see a couple nice cobia brought in out there today.
Really?
Yeah.
So, I'll get to that in a minute, but going back to the tarpon, so what'd you have out? What'd you hook them on?
We got that one on ladyfish.
Okay, live whole cut.
Live.
Live ladyfish.
Yep. And we were probably the only ones throwing ladyfish out there.
So, you have a live ladyfish on, drifting, running?
We're just drifting with the school of tarpon, trying to stay with them the best you can.
Now, are you using your engine or your trolling motor?
I was using my outboard, which has a tendency to piss everybody out there off.
But you caught fish, they didn't.
Exactly. I mean, everybody was out there on their trolling motors, and you always, yeah, you're on your engine, get out of here, you're going to spook the tarpon. Yes, you're right. This one nice, quiet four-stroke is going to spook the tarpon, and your 6,000 trolling motors won't bother them at all.
And the depth finder's pinging like crazy.
Yeah,
don't have anything to do with it.
I mean, come on, people.
Yeah. Now, as long as, you know, you're in gear and idling and you're not changing the tempo of the motor, I don't think they notice at all anyway.
I don't think they care. I mean, you sit there and somebody comes across the school on plane and everybody yells at them, and it doesn't matter because 5 minutes later they're rolling right there again.
The only thing about it is it's when they slow down or speed up. That's when it messes everything up. It's the same thing with snook or redfish or anything else. If somebody goes by, I actually like throwing in their wake because I catch a lot of fish doing that. So that really doesn't bother me at all when I'm snook or redfish fishing.
Yeah, and I'm a firm believer. I think those tarpon are attracted to diesel engines. I really do. Every time I've seen a big diesel boat sitting there idling in the pass, all the tarpon go there.
Well, that and they know they have nothing to fear.
Well, I mean, you're right. You're absolutely right. There's nothing to fear.
The diesel motor means they can't catch
fish
anyway. Because
90% of them are just looky-loos out there driving through and see a whole bunch. And it is cool to watch. It doesn't bother me any. But every time it seems that they go towards that diesel engine and stay right there till he leaves.
Yeah.
You know, come on, that big, twin thumping diesels, they're attracted to that, but my little 115 four stroke is just going to blow the school.
Well, what I like
give
is
me a break.
We had one guy came in here and I never knew what the CD was, but he had a heavy metal, hard rock, headbanger type CD. And every time he wanted to catch redfish, he would put that in. And a little while later, he'd be catching redfish. I always wished I knew what it was. But, I mean, he swore by it. But he wouldn't tell me what it was.
We used to swear up on our lake we couldn't catch walleye without stereo on.
Yeah, I mean.
And we did it many a time. Sit there with a radio blaring on the boat, pulling walleye off from underneath logs all day long. Turn it off. Done.
I think vibration, a certain pattern of vibration, and certain songs, certain music would have a pattern maybe similar to fish feeding or something going on. I mean, because it's just vibration. Noise is noise, vibration, vibration, same thing. But I do think there is actually something to that. Trying to find the right
frequency
is the booger.
Yeah,
I wish I would have known what he
used. Like those diesel engines, it's a low frequency pulse. I mean, that's something that fish can hear and feel a long way away.
Yeah.
They feel that low frequency. I mean, it's no different. You hear that car thumping his bass from a mile away before you see him. It's no different underwater.
Right.
That low frequency travels further than a high frequency.
Unlike the bass thumping in the car where you just want to get away from it, they feel the need to go to it.
Yeah.
So, anyway. So you had the live ladyfish out, hard hit or just grab it and kind of slowly run off?
It hit.
Hit and hauled butt.
It hit. Oh, yeah. He wasn't ready for it.
So
he wasn't ready for it at all.
Yeah, well, that's the one hard part about tarpon fishing is paying attention.
It's hard. It is hard because how long does it take for you watching those fish rolling in front of you before your mind just says, the hell with this.
Yeah.
And start thinking about other things. You're watching the girl in the bikinis on the other boat. You're watching the planes go by. You're watching the jet skiers.
Everything but what you're supposed to be watching
everything
for.
But what you're supposed to be doing.
The first 10 minutes, you're intense. I mean, you're gripping the rod. The next 20 minutes, you're watching, paying attention. And every few minutes after that, it goes down and down because you've been holding this rod with that bait fish. No matter how many times the captain or you tell the guy, listen, you got to pay attention because when it comes on, it's on. This is what we're waiting for.
I'm just the opposite. I'd rather have them not paying attention. I want them off in La La Land because you got a heck of a lot less of a chance of them trying to set a circle hook, panicking and jerking on it, blowing the first jump. You know, if they've got their head squarely up their butt, chances are they're going to catch that tarpon. They're not going to screw it up in that first 10 seconds.
Right. They're just going to be hanging on.
Yeah. That's basically what he did. Okay, you see that little cranky thing on the side of the reel? It's time to turn it.
Yeah, okay. So, did you get any jumps out of him?
We only got two jumps out of it. It didn't jump a whole lot, which, I liked because less of a chance to throw it. You're probably going to land that fish. Where he was hooked, he wasn't coming out no matter how many times he jumped anyways. I mean, it was right straight up through the roof of his mouth. Did get a couple gulps of air from him. And I kept trying to tell that guy, when he comes up like that, turn his head. turn his head, do whatever you can, turn his head, do not let him gulp air. It's another 15 minutes, and you're already making girl sounds, so it's time to start working now. Yeah, that was the funny part. His wife had to pee later, and she's, she goes, oh my God, I sound like a man. I said, that's all right, your husband sounded like a woman 15 minutes ago, so don't worry about it. All evens out in the world.
Okay, so what else happened today?
Not a whole lot. It was, wow, big FWC presence down there.
Oh, yeah?
Definitely, and I got a feeling it'll probably be worse this weekend. Not that that's a bad thing. Four boats, a helicopter, and a plane.
That's a lot of money to spend because people are complaining. I mean,
yeah, it is.
I'm seeing
a bad thing.
More and more people are just not going out there. People are not coming here for TARP, and they're not going out there.
I would much rather see FWC out there on their own, not because of a turf war.
Yeah.
You know,
but the truth of the matter is, it's just getting to be such a nightmare, and more and more people are just going other places, because you can go so many other places, not put up with the fighting and arguing and name-calling and nasty people. And once you get around out there around Gasparilla, it's just nasty.
Yeah, I mean, well,
it's,
the nice thing is,
it's not pleasant. Come to Port Charlotte. We like you. We'll help you.
This problem is going to solve itself.
Yeah, they're going to shut down the pass.
One of two ways. They're either going to shut down the pass, or people are going to quit going on the live bait drift boats.
And honestly, any of the boats out there, yeah.
I think it's going to be people stopping going on the live bait drift boats.
Yeah, there's
how do you sit out in the pass for 6 hours and justify that to your customers when there's no tarpon in the pass? You know, I saw everybody up on the pan. I saw a group of boats out on the pass. Went through the pass to see what was going on. Not a single fish in that pass. Not a one on the marker. And these guys will sit out there all morning. Why? Pick up your boat, move 3 miles up onto the pan, and put your clients on fish. Are you that steadfast and stubborn in how you fish this pass that you won't catch your clients' fish?
Well, I don't know if it's that, but a lot of their boats is very hard to fish up inside. They're really kind of drift boats. And it's tough to get on fish in that when you've got those big boats, even when you get in that shallow water. It's just tough. But you know, I'm not blaming, let's say, you know, I'm not quite as hardcore about that, because I was a drift fisherman. That's what I like to do. And I like to get there in the evening. I like to drift through the pass.
Oh, sure.
I just enjoy the ambiance and the experience of it, because usually there's very few people out there once you hit evening. You got to get before, because they do that daytime thing, and then they do another, like, nighttime drift.
Yep.
And if you can get between the two of them, it's still what I remember is beautiful. But yeah. I can't complain about this. Now, I had three kids. And once you have three kids, you got two, right?
Yep.
So, see, you can complain because you're not overpopulating the planet. I had three kids. I overpopulated the planet. I did the bad thing.
Shame on you.
Yeah, I was a jerk. You know, I just shouldn't have done that. I wouldn't give up any of them. But still, on the other hand, I am part of the problem. And there's just a lot more people. And people's like, well, there's too many people in the past. Well, quit having kids. If you got two kids or less, you can complain. If you got five kids, you have no right to complain.
I don't see the whole there's too many people in the past. You know, it's who's saying it?
I don't know.
The people that don't want anybody else there want it to themselves.
Yeah.
You know, these are the people that are going to complain no matter what we do. So,
you know,
I don't pay any attention to those
folks. People say, well, there's too many people here. I said, yeah, they should have closed off and not let everybody move here right before you got here.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, we get so many nice people to move here. And the problem is, no matter what you do, if you got 100 people that move here, there is going to be a percentage of jerks that move in with them.
Yeah.
But we got 90-some percent decent people that are nice, they're friendly, it's a great area to live, and there's a lot of great people. And, you know, if you're on vacation and you want to come to Charlotte Harbor, to Port Charlotte.
If you want to fix the tarpon problem, you put a no vacancy sign on the Boca Grand Causeway, and you light it from March till August, and that'll stop it.
Yeah. So, you know, it's just all going to end on its own, but
come up
here, we like you.
Yep.
I don't care how you want to fish. You want to fish, we'll help you fish with it.
Yeah.
You want to do live bait, I'll teach you live bait. You want to do artificials, we'll teach you artificials.
Exactly.
We'll teach you jigs. We'll teach you whatever you want to learn. It's all supposed to be fun. You're just supposed to be going out and catching a tarpon. If you cook them from the inside of the mouth or the outside of the mouth,
Yeah. And that was the, you know, and
Jesus, these laws are getting stupid there.
You hit it right on the head. It's supposed to be fun. You know, once the tarpon moved into the pass today, I told my clients, all right, we need to switch to jigs now. And we went into the pass, they watched it for 5 minutes and said, no, we're done. We don't want any part of this.
Yeah.
You know, and hats off to them. Yeah. If you don't want to put up with it, we're not going to put up with it. No problem.
Yeah. No, it's all goofy. But the good thing is, you can still come to Florida. You can still have fun. We just, we will help you avoid where all the fighting's going on, because we have the beaches to fish. We got the inside. We got the harbor. We've got everywhere to fish. You don't have to be a part of that. Yeah. And I think we've probably added to the problem a little bit, because we've been talking about it quite a bit lately, all the, you know, the nasty fighting and everything. And the truth of the matter is we still have a blast. We can still go so many places and catch fish. We have so many captains that don't go there. We've got a few who fish there who are really good at it, and they have a really good time.
When all these guys leave the pass in end of June, beginning of July, mid-July, when they all leave, the tarpon aren't gone.
No, they're just not fishing there anymore. They're just
done with their bookings. There's still plenty of tarpon here, and they're much easier to catch. They're up in the harbor.
From August up until August, maybe even September, the tarpon fishing here is very good.
I think that's the best time, that August-September time.
Yeah, because we don't want to run. Because we can do it right here.
Yeah, well, not only can we do it here, they're more eager to eat. They're not preoccupied with breeding anymore. Their whole point of being up in this harbor is to eat.
Yeah, they're just relaxing, eating before they take that big long run to either Mexico or wherever they're going to go, you know.
Yep, up the rivers for the winter.
Yeah.
They got to eat.
And go up to Louisiana, and people use them for target practice up there. Yeah. So, you know. Hey, look, tarpon!
It's so funny how these different Gulf states treat their fish.
Oh, yeah.
It really is here. You know, oh, my God, you're in Florida, and you killed a tarpon, you're going straight to hell. And Louisiana, they tee off on them. They're sick and tired of them.
Okay. But anyway, it's just it's all supposed to be an enjoyment and having fun. And there is, you know, this is just a great spot to come and relax and have a good time. And we'll help you figure it out. If you want to go and if you like the NASCAR fishing going out there, we'll help you do that, or we'll help you back up in here. That's what it's supposed to be about. Just relaxing and enjoying yourself and catching a fish.
You came down here to retire and enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself. Go out there and fish and have fun. Don't make it frustrating. Don't make it maddening. That's what golf's for.
That's what golf's for. That's right. If you want to be frustrated, crazy, bend the stuff over your leg, take up golf. It's a good one to make you nuts with. You know, and my only golfing experience was I was up north, and my brother-in-law and some other guys decided I need to learn how to play golf. So they took me to driving range and everything. And I found out if I twisted the club a little bit, I mean, I'm hitting them straight up the middle, just boom, boom, boom. And I mean, and they even go, what are you doing? How are you hitting them like that? I said, well, it's easy. You turn the club a little bit. You can't do that. And oh, my God. And this. And I said, well, I'll tell you what, guys. When you figure out the way I'm supposed to be doing it and you hit them like I was, let me know, because I'll be in the club with a vodka and tonic.
I had the exact same experience with golf. About 10 minutes. I put the ball on the tee. I hit it. And I didn't know it was possible to hit a golf ball in such a curve. I mean, I thought that, you know, no matter how you hit it, it's going to go straight. And this thing shot off that club at a 45-degree angle, off to the right, and damn near come back at me.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's wrong? Obviously, I'm hitting it crooked, so let's turn the club. You know, turn it inboard. You know?
Right. Correct. Same thing I did. Yeah, I did a correction on it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you thought the world come undone.
You people are worse than fly fishermen. I'm out of here.
The only thing I could say is I find myself doing a little bit of that when somebody's holding a spinning rod upside down, reeling backwards.
That's different. You're going to break something doing that.
But you know what? I've never really thought about it till this minute while we were talking about this, that I am becoming kind of a snob that way. I didn't really realize it, but I have my own little prejudice going.
Well, but I can understand that, because you're going to break stuff doing that.
Yeah,
you're not going to break that golf club turning it inboard a couple degrees to hit your ball straight.
I understand, but I'm just making a point that I will not do that anymore. I will I will eliminate that from my thought process of, oh my God, you know, what the heck are you doing? You know, I got to stop that, because it's the same. I'm doing the same thing to them as the golfers did to me. So that's one thing I'm not going to do anymore. I'm going to get rid of that part of it. I will inwardly laugh and snicker.
I'm still going to do it if they're using my equipment.
Okay.
If they're using their own. They fish however they want to hold it upside down, that's fine.
Yeah, I'm just...
Andy Medina's brother.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
See him out there on the bridge reeling that spinning reel in upside down and backwards. Not a care in the world.
We used to have a guy catches every fish you could think of, and he had to switch hands. He was, you know, right-handed, but he had to reel with his right. And I don't know. But anyway, I'm going to avoid those prejudices because, you know, I've made that golf joke, you know, talking about why I don't play golf. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you know what? You're just as big a jerk as those guys were.
Yeah.
And that's the way I you know, thinking of myself that, you know, how can I be such a jerk? Now, let's get to what you got in your hand.
Yeah.
This is a brand new prototype reels from Star.
From Star. It is the Star Aerial 8000, EX8000.
They're not available for sale yet. We're still working them out. They're going to be for sale very, very quickly. We're going to get some of the first shipments. Kale's going to go out and test them out. What's your initial opinion just looking at them here?
Playing with it.
You just picked it up. You've had it in your hand about 10 minutes now.
Playing with it, it is very quantum-esque.
Yeah?
It has got
good thing or bad thing.
Quantum feel to it. Oh, it's hard to tell. I mean, it feels familiar to me, so I think that's a good thing. It's got a spool support bearing, which I always like to see. I don't know what the gears are made out of or anything yet, but it looks like they've got some pretty good-sized, oversized bearings in the side of this reel. I mean, those are some crazy big bearings.
So,
six bearings, six plus one.
Which is about right, because I can tell you, too many bearings will mess up a reel.
Well, yeah. If
nothing's going to mess up a reel quicker than too many ball bearings.
If you're putting in bearings just to put in bearings and put a high count on your box to appease the people that need 57 bearings in a spinning reel.
Yeah, but what happens when you put all those bearings? You take apart reels and fix them all the time. You know it's going to be...
Number one, it's either too many problems with the salt water and you're not taking care of it, or... Two, to keep the price down, they're using cheap, crappy bearings that are probably out of round to begin with. You know, what good is putting crap bearings in a reel? Put six good bearings in a reel.
We gotta work back into more of a G scenario. You and I have been getting worse about this, and so we're gonna have to start saying junkie.
Okay,
we got kids. We have kids listening to this, and I thought about that after we did the last one. I said, you know, we are going to go more G.
They put a line keeper on the spool, which is always good. They feel pretty smooth. 4.9:1 gear ratio, which I think is a good... I mean, it sounds low, but we do everything down here slow. All of our retrieves are slow down here. Whether you're throwing big bombers underneath the bridge for tarpon with a big reel like
how
this...
How far would you say it around that spool? Here's a tape.
If I'd have to guess, measurement I'd around say... It. Close to 12 inches
circumference. I think it's gonna be like 6 or 9. See what's happening. And
it's about 8 inches.
Okay, 8, and you got 5, so what's 8 times
that's
5?
40 inches.
So one handle of the crank, you're reeling in 40 inches
of line.
So because it's an 8000, you're getting that big high retrieve. 40 inches of line in one handle crank is not bad.
No, not
even
bad
though at a 4.8 sounds slow, you got to measure the spool and figure out what you're getting back every time you turn the handle once.
The bass guys love that high retrieve, and all your bait casters are coming out all the way up to 7, 7.5 to 1, and it's just too fast for down here. You know, I've found, even out there working on the flats, it's just way too fast of a retrieve. I want something slow. Slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, I hate turning the crank at a half, you know, one half a turn per, you know, minute because the reel's so fast.
Yep.
I prefer a slower retrieve on it so that I can actually crank the handle a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you have to keep up with the actions.
Right.
And it's hard to do with high-speed reels.
Yeah, high-speed isn't the answer to everything. I'm hoping one day, I wish I was an engineer, I would design a 2-speed spinning reel.
Yeah, I think that's
because I would
we
like
could
it
use.
2-to-1 and 6-to-1. I'd like to be able to go down 2-to-1, working a lure, making it nice and slow, and zip it up when I'm just trying to get the lure back or retrieve quick, catch up to a fish.
Yep.
That's why when people are doing those offshore reels, I'm big on the two speeds.
Yes,
you
absolutely.
Got the,
absolutely.
You know, the low gear to get them up off the bottom.
Yeah.
And then once the fight's over, because once you get them up 10 feet, they're kind of done, you know, and
well,
then zip them up to
done.
The top. Yeah.
What's going to eat them isn't.
Right. Now you got to get them away from the barracuda, the sharks, the goliaths, all these stuff that are going to eat them, get them up.
Exactly. You got
to low gear to high gear, as soon as the main fight's over, and now you're just really cranking to get them up, I want that speed.
Yep.
So I'd like to see a spinning reel that way.
I think it would be great.
So, anyway.
Especially tarpon.
Right.
It would be great to have a high-speed reel. It'd be great offshore, too. I love using a spinning reel offshore.
And it would be nice if you had that low gear, high gear, because like when a tarpon's pulling and fighting, you're down in low gear, but as soon as he starts running at the boat, kick it in the high gear, get all that line back, then drop back to low gear.
Yeah,
that
exactly.
would be the ideal.
It'd be great for shark fishing, too.
Yeah, it'd be good for all kinds of any kind of big fish. That would be ideal.
We'd have to figure out how to do that.
Yeah, can't be that hard.
No, it wouldn't be that hard at all. You take your pinion gear and you put a second set of teeth on it and make the pinion itself drop back a few inches and clear the first gear and it would work.
Yeah, all you'd have to do is just pull back and push forward.
Yeah.
So, anyway, now that we've solved the world's real problems.
Yeah.
As a charter boat captain, you've been doing a lot of instructional trips, a lot of trips on other people's boats, getting out there, showing people where to go, what to do, and how to do it.
Yeah,
how's
I'm
that
surprised.
Been going?
I've still been busy doing that. That's really surprising. Usually summertime, most of our snowbirds go home, and those are the ones we're usually doing the educational trips for.
Right.
But
now,
there's been a lot of people that have started moving down here, you know, in the summertime and doing it full time. I'm kind of sort of seeing a shift that usually people come down here for
the
winter time only.
The winter time is very expensive, and if they come down looking for a home after, you know, in May and June and July, August, they get a better price than the house.
Yeah.
They're not paying.
And it's probably the real estate market that's doing it. I mean, usually people, they come down in the wintertime, they still have family up north, grandkids up north, then after 8 or 10 years driving back and forth gets old and they just say the heck with it and stay here through the year.
Yeah.
A lot of people are just moving.
Well,
now.
It gets so hot up north nowadays. I mean, you get the same or more. We're 92,
and we're
getting
rougher winters at the same time.
Right.
So
92, 94 degrees down here, and it's 99 and 100 up there.
Yeah, it was. It was like that last year. It was.
I remember
a lot
people
of
coming in from Illinois, Indiana, going,
it was, yeah,
God,
Chicago
it's so nice
area.
To be in Florida. It's so comfortable here. And
when
this
do you
was
hear
in
that?
August.
Yeah,
you
when
know,
do you hear that?
And in this August would be my 30th year here in the store, and the last couple of years, I mean, with the climate change and everything going on, it's absolutely staggering to be nice and close to the equator the way we are, so we don't get as hot or as cold.
Yeah.
You know, it's not quite as good as the Keys or Costa Rica, but it's way more affordable.
As long as I don't see cold white stuff on the ground, I'm happy.
Yeah. So, anyway, let's see. I guess the last
then again, we did have ice on the boat one morning this year.
Yep.
That was not fun.
Yeah, slip, bang.
It wasn't the fact that it was slippery. It was the fact that it was there. That shouldn't happen. I moved down here to get away from that.
So, where's your best bet? We got a free fishing weekend. You do not need a fishing license to fish this Saturday and Sunday.
The weather's supposed to be beautiful.
And it's what? Today's Friday, so it would be the 7th and 8th. You don't need a saltwater fishing license. So, if you've got somebody you want to take out fishing, you can get them out. There's no cost on the fishing license. Great time to take out relatives, friends.
Perfect
get them out
time.
There getting fishing. Yeah, where are they going to go, Cale?
First off, I think if you've got some kids, keep an eye between the 41 and 75 bridges. There's been some Spanish mackerel and some ladyfish in there. Great instant gratification to get somebody hooked on fishing.
Yep.
That would be my place to go if you've got somebody new to the area, new to fishing, kids new to fishing, especially kids. That's the place to go. I think if you're looking for redfish, the east side has been doing very well. Turtle Bay's been doing decent. snook have been doing well on the east side and the west side. If you can find white bait, we're getting a little bit in. I could have sworn I passed a school today near Ponce, so I think it's here.
Yeah,
I don't think it's heavy.
Bait's definitely coming up. Jug Creek has got a lot of bait on it. More out by Devilfish. We're seeing bait all the way up along the east side, scattered and sporadic, but it's coming up. I'm sure there's going to be some at the markers pretty soon. Been a weird year, and I'm still holding true that we're hitting them too hard with the cast nets. We got to back off. I mean, the schools are coming up, and people are going to say, okay, there's white bait here.
Well,
Frank,
we backed off this year.
You know, you're ridiculous. You know, this is not true.
Yeah.
I still hold that it's true. I really do.
I think sharks are still a great possibility. Lots of sharks from the 41 bridge all the way out to Boca.
Yeah. Get a chum bag, some sardines, mullet, anything. Freeline one, put the other one under a bobber.
41 bridge and the 75 bridge both doing good for black drum. 41 bridge still doing good for cobia.
Okay, the black drum. Shrimp. Robert's talking about peeled shrimp.
Shrimp, crabs, haft, and hold.
If I'm doing drum, if I'm using a whole one like a smaller crab, I put the hook on one side, go through the legs, out through the white spot, and on the other side, I take and bust the shell up a little bit.
Yeah, crunch them up a little bit. Get that scent out there.
Yeah, you got to crunch them up a little bit. Putting them out whole is okay, but he better be very lively where he's making noise.
Yeah, if you've got big eating size crabs, cut those babies in half. Throw them out there.
Chunk them in half, stick a hook on them.
They're doing
well. And don't move the bait, because if you move it, it's going to empty out. It's not like...
Yep.
It's not contained in there.
Yeah,
so.
The live ones I've been letting just drift. A little bit of weight, a little split shot to get them down to the bottom and let them roll across the bottom. The big ones I've been putting a bigger weight on and pegging them right in place.
Yeah, if you know, I'm using half.
They will find that half a crab.
If I'm using half, I want a sinker on it. I want it stuck in one place. I don't want to be moving it. Let it alone, because you'll come up with an empty shell.
Yep.
Once you put that half a crab there, it's there until it gets hit.
Yep.
You know, so.
And cobia still doing well at the 41 bridge. Still doing well in the deeper holes of the harbor. Doing very well. We saw two cobia pulled out of the pass today on big white bait. So they're still active in the harbor and very, very catchable.
Okay.
So. The fishing's great out there. We've got fish from the 75 bridge to Boca Grande. You can't go wrong.
So, anyway, we're going to end with Bobby or Doug Uppers?
Let's throw Bobby out there.
All right.
I like that song, too.
So.
Up this morning before the sun, grab my gear to get some fishing done. Jump in my pickup, give her a crank. I got to talk with fishing friends. Fishing Frank is the guy who'll know where the redfish and the tarpon go. From your boat or from the bank, the man to see is Fishing Frank. 'Cause he's got the tackle and the know-how too, and more than willing to share with you. The guys with the most fish in their tanks have surely been to Fishing Frank's. You gotta go to Fishing Frank's. The one who knows his Fishing Frank.
She's just so cool.
Yep, love that.
Bobby is, she's just amazing. We got to get her in and work other songs and some different versions and stuff like that. But
there
she's
you go.
Just amazing. I didn't, radio show got me started back playing music again for, so I've been actually getting a little nuts with that. Been locked up for 2 days. It's great stress relief, you know.
What, to play music?
Yeah. So.
It's usually a cause of it for me, so.
Yeah, well, but anyway, Fishing Frank, and in the chair across from me, it's Captain Kale. And this has been another Radio Fishing, and thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Go out, have some fun this weekend. Remember, a free fishing license weekend. It's May 7th and 8th.
And next weekend is our shark tournament.
Yes.
I can't believe it's the middle of June already.
Already the middle of June. So we got the Shark Sail Cat and Stingray Tournament coming up. Don't forget that last shark
one.
Tournament in the foreseeable future. We're not saying last ever, but last in the foreseeable future.
Yep.
So catch you on the next one, guys. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.